Welcome, councillors, officers, and members of the press and the public. The meeting will commence with a council welcome and acknowledgement. We, the councillors of Hobsons Bay, recognise that we are privileged to serve a community enriched by diversity. We respect and value our community's backgrounds, customs, and beliefs, and declare that we will always act impartially to the best of our skill and judgment. Through our deliberations and our conduct, we will uphold the council values to deliver outcomes that enhance the city of Hobsons Bay. I'd like to acknowledge that we are gathered on the traditional land of the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise the First Peoples' relationship to this land and offer our respect to their elders, past and present. Due to the current COVID-19 restrictions, this meeting is being conducted virtually in accordance with the Hobsons Bay governance rules and is being live streamed on the council website to enhance public access to the deliberations of council, and the meeting is also being recorded as a podcast. The voting will be conducted by a show of hands, as in the council chamber, and councillors, a reminder that when you vote, please clearly indicate your vote by raising your hand for or against the motion when prompted. If a councillor needs to leave the meeting at any time for any reason other than for a conflict of interest, they will stand to indicate their intention to leave and then walk away from the screen. And I remind you not to turn off the camera or exit the virtual meeting. If a councillor needs to leave the meeting due to a declared conflict of interest, as the chairperson, I will remove the councillor from the virtual meeting until the matter under discussion has been resolved. I'll then invite the councillor back into the meeting. If a councillor cannot be seen nor heard due to technical issues and cannot carry on as a participant in the meeting will continue as long as a quorum remains. And if a quorum is lost, the meeting will be adjourned until the quorum can be returned. The time that any councillor leaves and returns to the meeting will be recorded in the minutes, regardless of the reason for absence, as is typical in meetings in person. We come to item three now, which is apologies. Since there are none, I'll move to four, which concern disclosure of interests. And under the Local Government Act, councillors are required to disclose conflicts of interest. Councillors, I ask now, are there any conflicts of interest to be disclosed?
No, me, Master.
None for me.
Thank you. I'm just looking for any nodding heads. There's lots of shaking heads. I have none to declare and we'll move on. Item five, minutes. The minutes of the council meeting of 14 September 2021 have been circulated. Do I have a mover for these minutes?
Put a move.
Thank you. Councillor Hempel, a mover. Councillor Sutton will go the seconder. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item six is councillor questions, and I'll go in turn according to my participants list and ask each councillor whether they have a question, starting with the Deputy Mayor. Councillor Daria Callender, any questions?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
So through you, first question. How many residents have applied for the compostable bag trial to date, and when will they all be provided with their paper bags to begin the trial?
Thank you. I'll direct that question to Ms. Winslade.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Callender. We've had around 1,500 households register for the program so far. And as we see calendars and information packs arriving in households increasingly over the next couple of weeks, we anticipate many more registrations. There is a 3-month supply turnaround with large volume paper bag ordering. So we ran a tender as required under the Local Government Act. And we've appointed a provider, but there is a lag to when we can get large quantities of bags delivered. So we've procured as many bags as we can locally, and a pre-trial will commence from the 1st of November with 200 households, which is the maximum we can serve with the supplies that we have. All other residents who've registered for the trial will be able to participate from early in the new year as soon as those larger supplies arrive.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Winslade. Second question. So Glen Eira Council also don't allow for the use of compostable bags in their FOGO bin, which is similar to us. They do, however, allow residents to purchase regular paper bags from supermarkets, and they even promote this on their website. Given that Hobson Bay do allow residents to wrap food scraps in a piece of newspaper or paper towel, will Hobsons Bay consider promoting a similar initiative for our residents? And if no, why?
Thank you, Councillor Callender.
Yep. Thank
you. Go ahead, Ms. Winslade.
Through you, Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Callender. Look, I can't speak for other councils' programs, but in relation to Hobsons Bay, as you know, since the introduction of the FOGO bin in February 2020, Council has actively promoted in all our education material that residents can wrap their food in newspaper and paper towels, which are fairly identifiable items which break open on the conveyor belt and are easy for our processor to accept. The Hobsons Bay paper bag trial will run with official Hobsons Bay paper bags with stamps and printing and information on them. This approach has been worked through with our provider, Veolia, and that's the model that we'll be running with for the trial. So bins that contain bagged material not in the Hobsons Bay paper bags or the approved sort of newspaper or paper towel may be rejected as contaminated.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Winslade. And third question through you, Mr. Mayor. A number of traders do not have outdoor dining parklet space for various reasons, and that could include moving into their business after they were already installed. These outdoor parklets are obviously now key to getting back to business once we hit our vaccination targets, and noting that significant restrictions will continue to on indoor trade. Will Council work with these traders to implement outdoor parklet spaces for these traders where required?
Thank you. Ms. Winslade.
Through you, Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Callender. So, look, as with all complex requests, we do encourage traders to get in touch with Council's economic and social planning team directly, because the answer may depend a bit on the individual circumstances and it may change over time. But the brief sort of situation in terms of additional parklets is right now funding for the outdoor dining program has been fully expended. So over $1 million was committed and spent. That included some council funds and a state government grant. So there is currently no funding available to purchase new equipment. However, there is some equipment currently in storage, which is from previously decommissioned sites. So where that equipment lines up with what a new trader might want, then certainly we'd be happy to supply that in the meantime. And we are, of course, closely monitoring state government moves, because if there were to be additional state government funding made available, we would move quickly to secure funding to offer sort of ongoing services for residents and businesses.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Winslade. That's all for me, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'll move now to the next questioner, or I'll ask Councillor Grimmer. Any question to pose tonight?
Just one question through you, Mr. Mayor.
Please.
Yes, this is for Ms. Winslay. My question is, are residents entitled, of as long as they've got a proof of purchase of a cloth nappy, a reusable one also?
Thank you,
Councillor Grimmer. And it complies with the date also that it was registered.
Certainly. Over to you, Ms. Winslade.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Grimmard. So the reusable cloth nappy refund pilot commenced on the 6th of September, and provided residents can show a proof of purchase, whether that was for new items or secondhand items, and also confirm they're a resident, then they'll be eligible for that rebate until the funds allocated for that pilot expire.
Great. Thank you. That's all. Thank you, Mayor Marsden and Ms. Winslade.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Thank you, Ms. Winslade. Next question from Councillor Peter Hemphill. Go ahead, Councillor Hemphill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My first question goes to Ms. Winslade. Well, it's actually a couple of questions. It's in relation to the COVID vaccinations site, which we are involved with at the Badminton Centre in Altona North. Ms. Winslade, can you tell us what sort of numbers have been going through the site so far?
Ms. Winslade.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, Councillor Hemphill, the surge centre has been running for around 6 weeks, and around 3,000 vaccinations have been delivered through the centre. An additional roughly 2,000 vaccinations were delivered through the Witten Oval event a couple of weekends ago, which was a collaboration between a number of organisations, including council.
Right. And the badminton centre, what hours would it be running and how long do we know that it's going to run for at that site?
Ms. Winslet?
Through you, Med, at this stage, the badminton centre will continue to run sessional surge events, which will be advertised on council's website and on a range of other websites so people can book based on sort of availability of vaccinators until the end of October, which is when some version of normal use of the badminton centre is likely to start to come back online. I understand there's already around 1,500 further bookings that have been made for the surge centre between now and then.
Right, okay. And I think I saw recently there may be some opportunity for a pop-up vac centre in our neighbourhood, particularly in the Altona North area.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yes, look, we are in discussions with the Department of Health about options for sort of smaller scale local pop-up options, particularly in postcodes where there are lower vaccination rates. So we're in those discussions. It's probably a couple of weeks off being firmed up.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mayor, my next question is to Mr. Manivasa Gasavan. It's in relation to some truck traffic along Hudson's Road in Spotswood. And I understand I had some calls and I think other councillors had calls in relation to truck movements on Sunday night, very disrupting for the local residents. And I'm wondering whether you can tell us who they contracted to and are we doing anything to try and ameliorate the residents' concerns and what those ameliorating circumstances might be?
Thank you, Councillor Hipple. I'll put that question to Mr. Manivasa Gasavan.
Thanks. Through you, Mayor. Councillor Hempel, we have investigated that and we have received a number of complaints from the residents as well. So what we identified is these trucks are from the Ferguson Street level crossing removal projects. Currently, they are working on the trench works. And also because of that, they are transporting huge number of materials from the sites. And that's why the trucks are using the Hudson and Hall Street at the moment. And also they're using that as a stacking point as well in order to bring the trucks in an order. So we are closely working with them. We have made contact with the LXRP to look at what are the other options and how we can minimize the impacts on the residential areas. And also we asked them to do more communication to the residents along that areas to inform them of those plans and impacts. However, we'll closely work with them to see what are the other options they can use for the trucks. Because what they mention is this will go on for another 3 weeks until they fully works on the excavation.
And do we know, are the works only being carried out at night time?
Through me, that's our understanding at the moment, yes.
Okay. And are we discussing with them maybe options to do it during daytime or...? It's not as if there's a lot of traffic necessarily on the roads nowadays.
Yes, we are working with them to look at the options to reduce the traffic during the night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manivasa Gasavan. Thank you, Councillor Hempel. Well, I'll move now to Councillor Matt Tyler. Go ahead, Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mayor Marsden. Just one question through you. Mm-hmm. Has there been any progress made with regards to working with the state government on the Queen Street pedestrian and cycling bridge?
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. I might pose that of the CEO, unless you'd like to delegate that to someone else.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll delegate that to Sanjay.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Tyler, we are closely working with the Department of Transport So we have made a partnership arrangements with them in order to fast track the design works. So that's going really well, and Department of Transport is closely working with us and supporting us to fast track the design works. As this phase, our plan is to complete all the design works by February next year. And that would help us to look at for the construction process. And also we'll closely work with Department of Transport and also the state government to secure the funding for the construction of that bridge next year.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Wonderful. Moving on now to Councillor Pamela Sutton-Lagoe. Go ahead, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I have a question relating to Amendment C114, which proposes to rezone land known as Precinct 16 West in South Kingsville from industrial to residential use. I believe public consultation has now closed, and I'd like to get an update on where that project is and if you can give any indication on the level of feedback we've received from the community.
Certainly. Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe. I'll put that question to Ms. Winslet.
To you, Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe. Amendment C114 relating to Precinct 16 West was exhibited between the 28th of July and the 8th of September, so that closed about a month ago. Council received 34 submissions during that public exhibition, and most of those submissions raised concerns relating to traffic and amenity. These submissions will now be referred to the State Government Planning Panel and Advisory Committee for their consideration. And a panel hearing is currently anticipated to happen in the first week of December. That timing is obviously not set by Council. But when that hearing occurs, all submitters will have the opportunity to have their concerns heard by the panel if they desire.
Thank you, Ms. Winslet.
Just to follow up, so does that mean that anyone who's made a current submission or anyone who chooses to make a future submission will be able to be heard?
Ms. Winslet?
Through you, Mayor. I believe it's anyone who's made a current submission because the exhibition has closed, but I'd need to take on notice whether that would extend to future submissions between now and December.
Thank you very much. That's my only question.
Lovely. Thank you, Ms. Winslet. Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe. I'll move now to Councillor Tony Briffer. Go ahead, Councillor Briffer.
Sorry, everything's just died for me. Sorry.
Can you hear us?
I have. Would you believe I'm just getting my internet is unstable message on my phone, on my on my system here. Anyway, I'll try and persist. That hasn't happened yet. Thankfully, I've only got one question because council officers have been very well organised and provided me with responses. My question is, I'm not sure if we'll go to the CEO or Mr. Madavaskasavam. It's just in relation to the Nelly Street drain. And I discussed that with the CEO yesterday, as I do all the time. I'm just seeking an update on that just for the public record, please.
Certainly, I'll go to the CEO, and if you wanted to redirect the question, then it's
sure
up Thank to you. CEO.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think Sanjay is better placed to answer this one.
Certainly. Back to you, Mr. Manifestor.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Briefer, we are closely working with the Melbourne Water, which is Nelly Street Drain is fully managed by the Melbourne Water. And we are working with on a design to pipe the Nelly Street Drain. And Melbourne Water got some different ideas, so we are closely working with them. This would be done part of the Boarding Victoria funding allocation. We got for design works for the car parks, so we are doing that as part of that. So we'll closely work with them. Soon as we developed and agreed on a design, we are happy to share that with the community.
Exciting. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor Marsden.
Thank you, Councillor Briffer. Well, I have no questions to ask, and that concludes item 6, Councillor Questions, bringing us to item 7, Public Question Time. And this segment provides an opportunity for the public to ask questions related to items on the agenda of the council meeting or any other matter within council's responsibility. Questions must be put in writing and be received by 12 p.m. the day prior to the meeting, that is Monday at noon. Questions received after this time will be responded to in writing by the appropriate council officer. In accordance with 13.1 of the Hobson's Bay Governance Rules, 20 minutes has been allocated, with individual responses not exceeding 2 minutes each, and in accordance with 13.1.14, a maximum of 3 public questions may be submitted per meeting by a member of the public. And finally, in accordance with Rule 4.6.9 of the Hobson's Bay Governance Rules, a supplementary public question time segment will not be conducted during this meeting. And I'll go now to question number one, which comes from Mr. Craig Rowley. And Mr. Rowley's question reads, how will council be monitoring the volume of food waste placed in general rubbish bins for weekly collection? And what will council do if the data shows an increase in food waste going to landfill? The council responds as follows. Baseline data is being gathered in October via waste audits of a statistically significant randomised sample of household garbage and organic waste bins. Future audits will enable comparison to determine changes in waste composition over time. Council will continue to work with the community to increase the amount of food waste diverted to the food and garden organics, that is the FOGO bin. This includes a trial of paper bags to encourage recycling of food scraps in the FOGO bin. The trial will be open to all households. Mr. Rowley's second question reads, in relation to Council's curbside waste and recycling service review undertaken in the first half of this year, did Council complete a cost-benefit analysis to determine that the changes to be made to the curbside waste and recycling will be beneficial concerning landfill reduction in the suburbs that data shows to have higher recycling contamination rates? And the Council response reads as follows. Council's 2021 curbside waste and recycling service review considered a range of alternative service options for future curbside services. This included indicative costs, benefits, and drawbacks for the entire Hobson's Bay municipality. The review also noted issues around contamination in commingled recycling and recommended ongoing work to continue to improve the quality of this stream. This includes general and targeted engagement, as well as continuing to work with our commingled delivery partner to increase local recycling options so that more materials can be accepted in the commingled stream. And Mr. Rowley's third question, did Council assess the merit of a pilot program for testing the effects of change collection services in the suburbs with high contamination rates before deciding to make changes across the whole municipality? The Council responds, Council has endorsed a service change to garbage and FOGO streams across the municipality. Contamination in the commingled stream will be addressed through increasingly geographically targeted education campaigns. Mr. Rowley asked a fourth question, which will be answered in writing and provided along with the other three responses via email. Question five comes from Ms. Rowena Joski, and Ms. Joski asks the following question. Nearly 800 comments on Council's August Facebook update about the start of the weekly garbage and fortnightly FOGO service demonstrates the strong community interest in the impacts of these changes. Will the change in volumes of waste to landfill, food and organics, glass and general recycling recovery and contamination be reported monthly through the CEO operations report along with other reported monthly metrics? The Council response reads, Council is currently working to develop a public-facing dashboard across all service areas through which operational data will be reported as it becomes available. Ms. Joski asks a second question, which reads, with the halving of the FOGO waste collection frequency, will residents with gardens be offered a free FOGO bin upsize to encourage garden waste being put in the green bin rather than in landfill? The Council response reads, households requiring additional volumes for food and garden waste will be provided with an option to upsize to a larger bin at a cost of $33 per annum. This is a third of the cost of an upsized general garbage bin. And the final questions come from former Councillor Sandra Wilson. Ms. Wilson asks in her first question, estimated additional costs 2020-21 and 2022-23 for various curbside waste service options were included in a previous council report. Could the community please be advised of the actual costs for 2020-21 and projected future costs for 2022-23 for the changed curbside waste services to commence on 1st November 2021, rather than wait for the cost implications to be accounted for through forecast adjustments in 2021-22 as per the 29 June resolution? Uh, please identify if these costs represent an increased cost to council and the community. The council response reads as follows. Council's annual report will be released in November with confirmed actual costs for key services for 2020-21. The collection frequency change of general rubbish to weekly and FOGO to fortnightly was forecast to cost approximately an additional $14 per household per annum. The cost of the paper bag trial was not estimated in the review, and actual costs or savings will vary depending on uptake. Actual costs will be closely monitored and reported as part of Council's ongoing budget reporting. Ms. Wilson's second and final question, and the final question for this evening, reads, the Metropolitan Waste and Resource Recovery Group identified in its guide introducing a curbside food and garden organics collection service that, and this is a quote, frequency of the garbage and organics collection service, weekly organics collection coupled with fortnightly garbage collection has been shown to have the highest participation and diversion rates from landfill. Ms. Wilson then asks, has the council yet determined what the opportunities to increase disposal of food organics in the FOGO bin, as per the recommended or the amended recommendation 29 June, will be, given that a reduced fortnightly FOGO collection may lead to food organics reverting to landfill bins, excluding the pilot of a compostable paper bag? Council's response reads, Council's immediate focus is on rolling out curbside changes in November. In parallel, work continues on developing options to increase the recycling of food organics. This will include communication and engagement campaigns to be undertaken alongside the compostable paper bag trial and may, at a future stage, include additional FOGO recycling options for residents. I would like to thank the questioners for their questions, the officers for their answers, and note that written responses will also be provided. We move on now to the next section, which is petitions and joint letters received. And I'll ask first, do we have any petitions or joint letters to be tabled that are not otherwise on the agenda? Councillor Hemphill?
Sorry, jumped the gun there.
No, that's fine.
I asked that question, I thought, but I do have a question in relation to the next one.
Okay, well, let's move to that item 8.1.1, and that's the petition concerning Make Ferguson Street Safe for Pedestrians. Go ahead, Councillor Hemphill.
Yeah, it's a question to Mr. Manny Gassavan, and it's really a point of jurisdiction. Melbourne Road is a state government road, particularly north of the roundabout in question here, and Ferguson Street to the west of the roundabout is also a state government road. Where does the jurisdiction lie? Is it only to the curb or is it only to the footpath? So, for example, if there should have been some safety barriers on the footpath, say in front of the Hot Wings chicken shop on the corner, whose responsibility would that be?
Over to you, Mr. Manny Vasikasvan.
Through you, Mayor, Councillor Campbell. Normally, the responsibility of the Melbourne Road is the responsible, Vic Roads is the responsible authority, and normally that's curb to curb. And also the footpath is council managed. But when it's come to the safety improvements, it's normally a shared responsibility because we need to understand what the issue is. It could be upturning circles or the lights or other things. So we have to look at the different options, and then it could be a shared responsibility between the council and the Vic Roads.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Any further questions?
If there are none, I'm happy to move the motion.
I might just check with the others just quickly to make sure there's none. No, there appear to be none. So continue, sorry.
Sorry, I understood there's none. So I'd like to move the motion, but point out that in the purpose and in the motion, it refers to the area being in Williamstown North. It is actually in Williamstown.
Yep.
So if we can remove the north part in the motion, and probably in the purpose too, or at a later date in the purpose. So I'm happy to move that with that slight adjustment.
Certainly. Thank you. So the motion is as printed with that one change. And you're happy with the way it's been addressed on screen?
Yes, and I imagine that the purpose will be changed when the minutes go out as well.
Certainly. I'll ask that the governance team make that change as well. Thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Sutton will go the seconder. Back to you, Councillor Hemphill. As a move, you have 5 minutes to speak to the motion.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I won't take that much time. I will point out that the pedestrian crossing that is outside the childcare centre has been a serious concern for a fair while. It's been a problem area. It's been raised before, particularly by when that that building was actually the RSL, and elderly people were trying to cross their road. It is still a problem with some motorists, but you know, we've got to do something to fix it up. It just can't keep going on. On the other parts that it talks about, particularly, I would note that I understood that we had some earlier discussions, because there was actually a fatal accident outside the chicken shop. I'm going to say it's probably 3 or 4 years ago, where unfortunately a local resident was hit by a bus, and I thought we had been working with the state government on trying to fix that area up, because it is a dangerous, there's no safe way of crossing at that intersection.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you.
Yeah. And to you as a seconder, Councillor Sutton Lagoe.
I'm happy to go to the votes.
Certainly. Any other remarks from the councillor group for or against the motion? No? Then I'll, with your permission, Councillor Hemphill, I'll now put that matter to the vote. All those in favour of the motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. And yeah, my wife witnessed that fatality of the poor man who got hit by the bus. And I walk that intersection daily and agree that it's a very substandard intersection and very difficult to cross, particularly with a young child. Moving on now to 9.1.1, which is the Chief Executive Officer's report on operations. Any questions concerning this item? There appear to be none, in which case I'll seek a mover. Councillor Tyler, the mover.
I'll be happy to second.
And I'll be happy to accept your second, Councillor Grimmer, and it's back to you, Councillor Tyler. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Marston, and thanks, Councillor Grimmer. I won't need the 5 minutes, Mayor Marston, just a few reflections. I think first, the response to COVID and Council's role in that really continues apace. We've heard this evening from Ms. Winslade, thanks to a question from Councillor Hemphill, more about that really important collaboration between state government, council and the federal government for that matter, as well as a range of other organisations. The COVID vaccination surge centre at the Badminton Centre, I think it's a really important role that council's playing. We had numbers in Hobson's Bay that were behind the Victorian average, and we've really caught up at some pace, which is really, I think, a credit to all folks who are rolling up their arms and getting the vaccination, noting that is, of course, a personal choice. I think we've also seen, I note in the report, over 100 residents access the community Has Heart Connector program. And I just want to touch in brief on some of the work that's being done as part of that program, provision of food supplies, medication, nappies, dog walking, pet food counselling, and really importantly, domestic violence support in collaboration with service providers across the municipality. And the number for folks who might be watching or and could benefit from that service, or know folks who might benefit. 1300 179 944. Also really pleased to see youth counsellors increase to accommodate the demand, and you know, there's still a 4-week waiting list, which I think there's work to do, but I know that there's been an increase in resourcing. And then finally on COVID, pleased to see engagement with our local artists in a range of ways, including online events, given the constraints, which hopefully bring just a little bit of joy and also importantly support folks who are doing it pretty tough so far as artists are concerned. In spite of an earthquake, business as usual continues as well. Almost over 2,500 advanced trees planted this season, over 1,200 maternal and child health consultations. I guess one of the highlights for me this last month is joining first ever, as I understand it, online citizenship ceremony. And always a thrill to see people receive their citizenship, and would have loved to have been in person, of course, but it was a really beautiful vibe and a lovely energy in our virtual room. And then finally, absolutely pumped to see the upgrade of Laverton Parks proceeding. So yeah, chock full in terms of activity that's going on, and that'll do. Thanks, Mayor Marston.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. And you have now 3 minutes to speak to the motion. Councillor Grimmer, go ahead.
No, I just want to thank you and say how proud I am with the Mr. CEO for presenting, as usual, a comprehensive report of so much activities. Councillor Tyler has highlighted COVID, and that's something I'm particularly proud of, as Councillor Tyler mentioned, art and other support that was in place. I'm also particularly proud of the financial support for rates and financial assistance for residents and businesses. I'm very particularly proud of, which is much needed to support young people, including career development workshops and daily catch-ups, which I've shared with many locals. And Councillor Tyler did touch base on the Altona Badminton Centre, which resulted in 3,000 vaccines being administrated, which I couldn't be a prouder moment during these hard times. At the same time, we've managed to get 670 immunisations across the municipality. So a job well done. And finally, I'm extremely proud of the nappy reusable and rebate trial that has been launched. It's starting off to be very successful, with more than 60 rebates being rewarded. So thank you. Job well done. But finally, I'm also going to congratulate the mayor for doing a job well done on his first virtual citizen ceremony. So I've participated with you, Mayor Marsden, in person. So kudos to you for doing it virtual and the first one. So good a job well done.
Thank you so much. You're very kind, Councillor Grimmer. And of course, you're welcome to join the next one, which is on Thursday.
And I look forward to it.
Or any one of the ones to come. It's a pleasure to be there as a team. And it's a really joyful occasion, as you and Councillor Tyler have referred to it. There being no one against the motion, I wonder if there's anyone else who would like to speak to the item. Go ahead, Councillor Callender.
Thank you, Mayor Marsden. So something that I just wanted to note within this report, it does highlight that 39 residents and 18 businesses have so far submitted applications for rate waivers. And, you know, the total rate waiver pool is $525,000. So if we do the maths at this stage, we've got $39,000 approximately on the residential rate waivers. That's if we give them the maximum $1,000. And for businesses, if we're, you know, looking at the maths there as well, applying a 25% rate waiver where turnover has reduced at greater than 70%. So this is the highest cap at this point in time. If we're looking at the average commercial rates as being at around $10,000, that's around $45,000. So $84,000 out of $525,000 at this stage. So there's a lot of money left in the pool. And if anybody is experiencing hardship, I'd definitely say get your application in as soon as you can. Also, similar to Councillor Grimmer's recognition of support for the reusable nappy rebate, So up to $75 per application, launched in September. As a mum, I gave modern cloth nappies a go, and I think this is a great initiative to help reduce the initial cash outlay, because they are pretty expensive, and it gives parents an incentive to give them a go as well. So 60 rebates have been awarded. The trial will remain open until the full budget is exhausted. So once again, if you are considering purchasing them, or if you already have purchased them, contact council and put in your claim. That's it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. And yeah, the team will be sure to assess those rate waiver applications. Thank you for the indicative costing, and congratulations on your mental arithmetic as well. Next, any other? Yes, go ahead, Councillor Sutton-Lico.
Thanks very much, Mr. Mayor, and all my colleagues for their comments. I have to acknowledge all the work that's been done. I mean, the spread of activities and the level of engagement with the community is really astonishing, given that we are still in lockdown. So imagine what we're going to do when we all come out. Aaron, you've got a good job ahead of you as the CEO. I wanted to acknowledge again, as others have, that the arts is supported through the Hobsons Bay Creative Industries Impact Survey. And it'd be really good to see how we're going to help to rebuild that sector once we do come out. And there's some great initiatives. The Airtime Temporary Public Art Exhibition is one, and really good to see the partnership with the Midsummer West Side for a festival in January, February next year. So that's going to be exciting, as well as our partnership with Hobsons Bay Daughters of the West, which is a collaboration with Council and the Western Bulldogs Foundation. So there's some really, really good initiatives. I see that we have our Christmas gift and event guide, which retailers have submitted to now. So I'm really looking, Christmas is definitely happening, right? We're going to do Christmas. And I look forward to being out in the community as much as we possibly can. I'd also like to acknowledge the work that's been done with the solar, the community solar project. And I believe we've now installed, according to the report, 2,000 square metres of solar panels on the Civic Centre, which is a really great place to start. There are a number of projects still open for consultation, including the Domestic Animal Management Plan and the Newport Lakes Conservation Plan, which is the 10-year plan for the lakes, and a really important plan, and I encourage all of the community, as many people as possible, to comment on that, because you know, these green spaces have become even more important to us as we've gone through COVID. And to acknowledge the funding received for traffic calming at Mason Street, Newport, $1.8 million from the federal government. So there's some really fantastic actions and activities and outcomes, and that's coming from the work of the of all of everyone, both councillors and council. So thank you. Everybody. Thank you, CEO.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lego. Any other speakers to the motion? There appear to be none. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. We move now to 9.2.1, which is the adoption of the Council Plan 2021-25. Are there any questions concerning the item? In which case, I'll seek a mover for this item. Councillor Tyler, the mover. Okay, Councillor Grimmer, the seconder. Thank you. And we'll go now to Councillor Tyler. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. Firstly, I guess I'd like to thank the community for their input. Input that is quite extensive. 11 workshops, 816 postcards, engagement with schools, hitting the streets initiative, which, you know, of course, was across 14 different locations, almost 500 people surveyed, and almost 1,200 ideas collected through hitting the streets alone. And I guess by extension, also a big thank you to the council officers who were involved in what was a really significant undertaking so far as the scale of the consultation is concerned, particularly against the backdrop of COVID and the challenges that presents. And so A big thank you to them as well. I'll just focus on a few initiatives. And I think as I turn to the initiatives, I guess a massive thank you to the councillor group. I know this is a document that's really, I guess, crucial in the context of our term together. And I know there's been really, important collaboration and discussion and input from all seven of us on what ultimately has been included in this document. Really pleased to see open space prioritised in this plan in a whole range of ways: preservation of wetlands, the urban forest strategy, and the wetlands centre, which I really, I guess, am mindful that will likely involve collaboration with other levels of government, but genuine community-driven project over a number of years that really pleased to see council enabling and getting behind. The Better Places program, which I know is on the agenda tonight, started in Laverton. Real innovative way to work, I think, rather than going in sort of silos to go and focus on a place and think about the character of that neighbourhood and how different parts of council can work in partnership to facilitate a vision that's really importantly aligned with what the community is looking for with regards to that particular neck of the woods. And so look forward to that program continuing. Advocacy, which was the top priority in terms of what we heard from the community, and there's specifics in the plan, including Central Avenue, Queen Street, Point Cook Road, addressing dangerous driving and speeding, and also the Queen Street Bridge. The plan includes a focus on getting the basics right, improving customer satisfaction with the quality of sealed roads and footpaths, as an example. And then finally, Mayor Marston, pleased to see reference to establishing accessible dashboards that really provide transparency on the inquiry process in terms of how we can continue to improve our performance. So specific initiatives, and I think provide a really important foundation for our term together, and I know it's involved a lot of work. And so, thanks again to folks in the community who provided input. I really look forward to seeing this implemented.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler, and over to you, Councillor Grimmer.
I definitely go with Councillor Tyler says perfectly, as always. Just obviously getting back to, the council team, I think it's good that they've moved forward to the gateway of modern, hitting the streets. And at the same time, it's going the old days. Like, that's what used to happen when I was a little kid. So it's, you haven't missed a beat. So social media, hitting the streets, grabbing a coffee, supporting the trades, and talking to everyone. Fantastic. So on that note, thank you, everyone, including McLeod, Mr. McLeod's staff, for pulling this comprehensive document. And this will provide us for the planning for the next 4 years. And the draft versions have been out for exhibition for community consultation. And overall, the community has endorsed the plan, and a job well done. And I look forward to seeing action. And just thank you for, just as I said, having new ideas and being open. For example, hitting the street, which has been close to my heart because it does include people who aren't on social media. So thank you to Mr. Cloud, Council and team again. And on my final note, because I talk too much, my son always asks, what are you doing here? What do you discuss? Why does it take long? This is why. So it makes me feel more prouder and mother guilt less. So thank you, everyone. That's it. Bye.
Wonderful.
Makes me proud to be a mama and an activist too, with all my council colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. And you can assure him that we're working hard while we're on these meetings. Yeah. Wonderful. Is there anyone against the motion? Anyone else like to speak to the motion? I'll go to you again, Councillor Tyler, as the mover, if you'd like to say anything in summary.
Thanks, Mayor Marston, and thank you, Councillor Grimmer, for your comments. And I dare say that the time for your two little ones is well spent. They'll grow up in a community that's being very well looked after. So, yeah, credit to you, Councillor Grimmer. Happy to go to the vote, Mayor Marston.
Certainly. All those in favour of this item? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. It's one of the few responsibilities outlined in the Act for the Mayor to undertake, and that is to see the consultation and the development of the council plan. And I'm really, really pleased and proud and happy to be able to endorse it tonight with your warm comments. And I'd like to thank the CEO, his executive team, and everyone in the community and throughout council who have worked so hard on this council plan, which after all is the blueprint for the next few years. Next item is 9.2.2, Financial Plan 2021-22 to 2030-31. Any questions, councillors, on this item? In which case, I'll seek a mover.
Happy to move.
Councillor Hempel, the mover. Thank you. And Councillor Sutton Lagoe, the seconder. Councillor Hempel, you have 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I certainly won't need that much time because this plan's been out to the community prior to this, and it's now coming back for final adoption. And there's been no real change made since it's been out for public comment. Would like to point out that the financial plan for the next 10 years provides for operating surpluses every year. And I'd also like to reiterate, as I have in the past, this is not a bundle of money that just sits in the bank and is there for, you know, accumulating interest. It's actually used to fund our capital works each year. In fact, but the operating surpluses are always used up, and we also top up our capital works with other sources of funding, food grants and so forth. Like to point out that some of the key objectives in the financial plan are financial sustainability, comprehensive financial inclusion and informed decision making. And I've got to say that ever since I've been on the council, this has been a very well operating council. And I don't see any difference coming up in the next few years, and particularly I think with new councillors on here as well, they would probably acknowledge that you know, that we're moving forward in a fairly good and sustainable way. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hempel. Councillor Sutton Lagoe.
Thank you. Yes, it's good to see that the underlying strategy considers all funding sources to reduce council's high dependence on rates revenue, and the aim being to become more financially independent, and at the same time ensuring we've got enough cash to cover our operations and our capital works plan. It's good that it's been articulated that this will be done by a combination of reducing costs and finding new sources of revenue. Because if you just do the former, i.e. only reduce costs, you eventually run out of money to do the things that you want to do, the capital projects. So we need to find new sources of revenue as well. And those need to be outside of rates so that we can leverage the rates funding that we have and make up for the effectively shrinking government funding. There's always a gap as we try to achieve more and stretch our dollars further. And I'm looking forward to seeing the research and the projects that will enable us to become more financially self-sufficient, because there are some innovative things out there. And I hope that we can do this, i.e. become more self-sufficient in an environmentally sustainable way, because we want to do this in a way that has as little negative impact on the planet as possible. So happy to endorse the document.
Thank you. Councillor Sutton Lagoe. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Hempel, are you content to go to a vote?
I was just going to add that something what Councillor Sutton Lagoe pointed out is, you know, we have to look to be more innovative. but I hope we don't do what our northern neighbour is and look to build medicinal cannabis operations to try and make more money. I think that's a great big hole. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Well, I'm going to put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Anyone against the motion? No. The motion is carried. Yes, I think we've missed that boat. We'll have to grow an alternative medicine if we're going to capitalise on that emerging market. Thank you all. And thank you to the team. This is an important part of our responsibility as councillors, is to ensure the smooth operation and the predictable funding into the future years, and a 10-year financial plan is a sensible way of doing that. 9.2.3 is the next item. Instruments of delegation to the Chief Executive Officer and Members of Staff 2021 update. Are there any questions concerning 9.2.3? I'll look for a mover. The mover is Councillor Hemphill. Thank you.
Happy to move this, Mr. Mayor, and just to speak briefly to it.
I just need a second before No, you're right. I'm just looking for... Thank you. And I have one in Councillor Sutton Lagoe, the seconder. Over to you, Councillor Hemphill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's pretty procedural, this motion. The state of emergency is due to cease on the 15th of December. There are rules in place now, and it's largely governed by government legislation, and it's really just a procedural motion at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Sutton Lagoe.
Just to reiterate what my colleague said, and happy to go to the vote.
No worries. Anyone against the motion? Anyone like to? Yeah, go ahead, Councillor Callender. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, you know, while Councillor Hemphill has said that this is procedural, it was first implemented by previous council in March 2020 at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that was in direct response to the declaration of the state of emergency. It was implemented to ensure that council could operate where councillors were restricted to formally meet by delegating additional decision-making authority to the CEO. Outside of the declared state of emergency, the CEO would specifically be prevented from making such decisions. I'd like to highlight that, for the record, the CEO has not enacted any extended delegated authority since the commencement of this instrument, and I personally commend him for this as well. The initial challenges and unknowns of COVID-19 have now been overcome, so I personally don't believe that the delegation is required any longer and it should cease today. It, however, will remain in force until the Victorian Premier declares the end of the state emergency, which is expected to occur on the 15th of December, and I do hope that that happens. The continued use of these provisions by the state government as an override mechanism runs the real risk of ongoing violations of civil liberties and human rights. By the imposition of rules and restrictions that the government would otherwise specifically be prevented from enacting and enforcing. There have been media reports that the government is planning on replacing the state of emergency with some sort of permanent pandemic legislation. However, there's no public details on what that would look like. Without clear guidelines explaining the conditions or metrics under which the government will give up these provisions, there's a real danger that they will continue into perpetuity. Once we reach high vaccination rates and with the new COVID treatments becoming available, there's no justification for keeping them in place. And I hope that the crossbenchers keep this in mind when they cast their votes in December. Local councils like Hobsons Bay need the state government to lead by example. They need to be able to function without a state of emergency that allow for these overrides. And these overrides are overrides that remove normal levels of oversight and accountability. While our CEO has not enacted any decisions under these provisions, and I think that's, you know, highly commendable, until the state of emergency ceases, the risk remains in place. Councillors, as officials elected by ratepayers, have the democratic right to make decisions through robust and respectful debate on community issues, especially when it comes to acting in the best interests of ratepayers. And this should not be overridden by an instrument of delegation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Anyone for the motion would like to speak? Anyone else against the motion? In which case, I'll go now to Councillor Hemphill to sum up.
No, I'm happy for it to go to the vote, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, all those in favour of the motion?
Sorry.
Oh, yep, I've got your hands now. Thank you. All those against? Thank you. The motion is carried. We move now to 9.2.4, Audit and Risk Committee update, August 2021, and the biannual report. Any questions on 9.2.4? We'll need a mover before we move into debate. Councillor Suttler, go the mover. And a seconder to enable debate. Councillor Tyler, thank you. Councillor Suttler, go.
Thank you. The Audit and Risk Committee is here to, establish that we're doing the right thing with our, in terms of our financials and the way we operate as a council. The council submitted the biannual report, and this is the committee's first report under the new reporting regime. The committee welcomed any feedback from the council as to whether it meets the council's needs, and then the committee also offered to make a presentation to council if they'd like to hear from the committee directly. The committee also reviewed the Victorian Auditor General's the Bargo draft closing report, and the CFO, Hamish Munro, and his team were acknowledged for the hard work that they put into this and providing a very strong report. Overall, I commend the report to the council.
Thank you, Councillor Suttler-Go. It goes to you now, Councillor Tyler, as a seconder.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. I think Councillor Suttler-Go has done a good job, and nothing further to add.
Certainly. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers to the motion? I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. And I'd like to thank the Audit and Risk Committee and the council delegates, namely Councillor Suttler-Go and the outgoing delegate, Councillor Callender. Thank you for your work on the committee. 9.3.1 is the next item, which is COVID-19 community support package update. Any questions on this matter? Who would like to move? Councillor Suttler-Go, the mover.
And I'll be happy to
second. Thank you, Councillor Grimmer, the seconder. Back to you, Councillor Suttler-Go. You have 5 minutes to go.
Thank you. I'd really like to congratulate and acknowledge the work of the council for the response for the COVID support package. The council's delivered at least three community support packages, probably more now, and in total nearly $11 million. And that's probably going to increase. In June 21 included support package of $2 million, which is still being delivered. I really commend all the council staff for their proactivity and resilience in adapting services so swiftly and seamlessly. All the feedback that I've had from the community is that the changes that have needed to be made have been done well. And I think that's a credit to all the staff. And I know that they're impacted by the lockdown just as much as everybody else in the community. It's a tribute to all their work, the way the community have responded. I think that no one expected the lockdown to go on for this long, and the way that we have been kept informed, the councillors meet with the CEO and the leadership team every Friday to hear what's happening, and I think that's really important. We've heard about the various community leaders who have stood up and assisted, not least the community at the Newport Mosque and Circuit Health with Citizen of the Year, Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal. So many people have made a huge effort to help others, and much of it done quietly, but effectively. And we're extremely fortunate to have these leaders in our community, to be able to benefit from their ideas and their action. And not least the community consultation group who helped decide how we spend the funds that we allocated in the recent support package. So I don't think we're not quite through all of this yet, but I believe we've really shown great community spirit and a willingness to collaborate. And that's what you need in times like these. So I absolutely support the document, and also support and commend all the work that's been done to date.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe. Councillor Grimmer.
I echo what Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, 100%. I also want to thank Council, and I definitely am going to be wholeheartedly supporting this package. Furthermore, we have supported businesses through waivers of food and health registrations, even rent relief, assisting businesses rotating. And these initiatives have my support for 2021 and 2022. And again, thank you. And I look forward to having more discussions and action. And again, I'm going to thank, and also I must not forget the community to say thank you. There are silent people that, action that has been taken, and we may not be aware of their names, but thank you. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Anyone against the motion? Speakers to the motion? I've got three. I'm going to go Councillor Callender, then Councillor Hemphill, and then Councillor Tyler. Go ahead, Councillor Callender.
You're on mute, Dave.
I'm on mute.
Yep.
There we go. And I was saying good things too.
you have to repeat them. Go ahead.
Okay. Happy to support everything that everyone said so far. It is an amazing package. And, you know, echoing what Councillor Sutton-Lagoe has said as well, it came about over time with councillors sharing ideas and concerns with the officers and the CEO. And credit really needs to go where it's due. So I personally want to acknowledge the officers and the CEO for putting this pack together and proposing it to us a couple of weeks ago. The additional support package targets a number of industries that have been hard hit, from hospitality, health and beauty, sports and rec, and also our local entertainers. So the package includes support for businesses, an extension to the waiver of food and health registrations, and a waiver of footpath trading permit fees through to the end of the financial year. Outdoor dining fees is a topic that received a lot of media attention over the past week, with the Greens-led Yarra Council voting last week to implement exorbitant outdoor trading fees of up to $5,000 per car park space this financial year. So I hope that the traders are listening, because this package confirms that Hobsons Bay will not be charging outdoor dining fees for the remainder of the financial year. It also includes a program of live outdoor music across the municipality, which will enable more local artists to be engaged. The support for outdoor music is something that I'm eager to see happen. When I ran for council, I took a number of phone calls from residents who were in lockdown. And the one thing that they wanted more of, especially being in lockdown for so long, was outdoor events such as live entertainment. We've got some great local entertainers. They've been unable to perform for way too long, and these guys need our support. I'm hoping that we can get some live music and entertainment events set up in community areas such as Altona Esplanade, through to Cherry Lake and Brooklyn Reserve. Sorry, guys, I'm only talking about Cherry Lake Ward here. This will not only help support the entertainers themselves, but it'll bring back some life and fun and joy into our community, something that's been in short supply as we've spent the last 2 years in rolling lockdowns. So bring on summer, I say. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Next is Councillor Hemphill. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I agree wholeheartedly with my colleagues. Would like to point out that as you, Mr. Mayor, and Councillor Burford would know, there was a lot of thought that went into it, a lot of discussions last year when, you know, the world turned pear-shaped. And I also would like to commend our officers for the work they started back then and continue through today, and to be reactive to what our community says. And You know, we had a lot of discussions last year, focus groups and listening to the business community and just trying to make it work. And now we can see there's a very sizable amount of money over 2 years, two budgets that, you know, we'd never anticipated back when we did the, what would it be, the 1920 budget. You know, we never anticipated this, and it's been a credit to the officers for the work that they have put in and continue to put in to make sure that we, you know, keep those community building issues and ideas going forward. Would like to say that probably one of the most successful ones, I think, it's been a bit quiet the last few months, but the Hobson's Bay has Heart Outdoors program with the outdoor settings in some areas is something that I think that once COVID ends, and it'll have to one day, you know, in some areas, like in the heart of Altona, the heart of Laverton, heart of Newport and Williamstown, you know, we may have to think of these as permanent arrangements because they've just been so successful, so well run and so appreciated by the community.
Thank you. Councillor Hempel. It's now your turn, Councillor Tyler. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marston, and thanks to my colleagues for their comments. Also want to thank officers. I guess I also just wanted to call out, I guess, a message that perhaps in some respects could go without saying, but it might be worth saying, just to say that it is just such a hard time for our community, and no one package is going to, inverted commas, fix it. I guess something that I was heartened by in terms of what was shared in the supporting documents is the acknowledgement that there's going to be a need to respond flexibly. I think as Councillor Hempel touched on, there is inherently uncertainty in the situation we're facing. And I think for different reasons, perhaps to what we've experienced to date, the next few months and perhaps beyond will be really challenging. And I guess I'm heartened to see explicit reference to, you know, perhaps the need to further support service providers in our community. I think it's something that akin to this package, we're going to have to take a proactive approach on, and just keep an eye on what are the needs that are emerging, because, you know, this is not something that anyone really has experienced before. And it's just a really challenging time, I guess, and wanted to call that out and name that for what it is.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Anyone against the package, or at least the motion? Anyone else like to speak to the item? In which case, I'll go back to you, Councillor Sutton-Lego, to sum up.
I think everything has been said. It's a very challenging time, and in times of great distress and great challenge, we see, you know, leadership come to the fore when people really work together, and I think that's what we're seeing. There will be, as Councillor Tyler said, it will continue to be difficult even when we get out of lockdown, and perhaps even more so as people start to return to what might be normal and realise the impact that all of this has had on us individually and collectively. You know, I give you my heart, my hug to you all, because we're all dealing with these things in our own way. Tonight, I'm happy to endorse the community support package, and thank everyone for their comments.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lego. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you so much for your warm comments and solidarity with our officers and with the community, with those people who we can't know what their individual circumstances are like, and everyone has a different challenge depending on their income and their personal living arrangements, whether they are looking after children at home, whether they're doing homeschooling. And whether they have support for their basic needs. And to Councillor Tyler's point about uncertainty and the fact that we can't anticipate what's going to happen in the next financial year, necessarily, as Councillor Hemphill said, we do have the Burnett modelling, and that is forecasting an increased number of cases over the next weeks and months, which will put massive strain on our civil support organisations, and we need to be able to stand ready to support them as well, to review on a quarterly basis, I think, and to be agile and responsive to any needs that the community has. So I'd like to add my best wishes and hugs to everyone in Hobsons Bay. And as the Deputy Mayor said, bring on summer. Thank you all. Moving now to 9.4.1, endorsement of place guide for Better Places Spotswood and South Kingsville. Are there any questions concerning this item? Who will move?
I'm happy to move, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lego. And Councillor Hemphill, the seconder. Councillor Sutton-Lego, go ahead.
Thank you. I've been part of a number of conversations about the place guide for Better Places Spotswood and South Kingsville. And it's been really clear that the community has been very engaged, and there have been a lot of opportunities for engagement as well. And this follows the successful pilot in Laverton. And I think that we're learning how to take what's called in conservation a landscape scale approach, you know, where we're not just picking out projects and hoping that they'll work together. We're actually looking at all the things that matter in an area and considering them collectively. So whether it's movement of people on bikes, you know, via the Green Line project, whether it's our open spaces, we'd love our parks, or future industries and businesses that we may want to encourage or discourage, but mostly encourage into our areas. So I think it's been a really interesting approach in terms of taking a co-design approach and really listening to the community, having independent advisors working alongside council staff. I really hope that it leads to the sort of outcome that is being sort of envisaged for the project. And I suspect that it will, because we really have had these opportunities to consider and pick apart what's being proposed. I'm very glad to see that there's a three-year program being proposed, and that includes the design and or implementation of up to 16 projects. So, you know, that means we'll be able to go ahead with a number of things. We will still have to collaborate with other parties, other stakeholders, but it gives the council a really firm, and the community, a really clear direction on what we want to do in this space. And I think it's a very good example of community council collaboration. And I hope the community feel the same way. So I'm happy to endorse the guide, and would also recommend that community get and have a look at it. If you haven't had a chance because you're not direct, it doesn't directly impact you, I really recommend getting in and having a look, because it's fabulous. You know, what's been proposed is really positive, constructive, and realistic. You know, so it's innovative and it looks forward, but it's also realistic. So yeah, I recommend it.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lego. Councillor Hemphill.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think Councillor Sutton-Lego has made most of the important points. It does follow on from the Better Places Laverton project, probably a little bit more complex than the Laverton project, but they've both been great projects to engage with the community with, and in areas that really need a spruce up too, I might add, as well. I think that's important, and you know, I look forward once we move on to other areas like in Brooklyn as well, down the track. Have to say, I think it's nearly 12 months almost to the period when we actually formally moved to get on with this one. I know it was just before the council lockdown period before we went to elections, so that would have put it at either the September or the October meeting. I only raise that because to get a project as complex as this up in 12 months has been a phenomenal effort by the team, which includes our staff, but also our contractor, Ben Shu, and all those exterior people. So I hope we pass on our thanks to them for this amazing amount of work that's been done. And Mr. CEO, I hope it all gets passed right down through the organisation that may not be listening in tonight, but just want to make it known that we really appreciate the work. And I'm judging by the number of comments that we've had and the engagement, I think the broader community is as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers to the motion? In which case, we'll put that item to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you all. And yes, congratulations to the CEO, his team, for rapid implementation and the ongoing iterative perfection, I guess, of a placemaking methodology, which has been tested in two places now, and we'll move next to the northern suburbs of the Cherry Lake ward. And I was really struck by the not only the degree of community engagement, but also the recruitment of a core group of community members in order to continue the project and to shepherd the next stages of the implementation of the Better Places Spotswood South Kingsville. I think that's really important to have for the community to have carriage of that project. And I was particularly struck by the interest in the First Nations pre-settlement history, given its central location near the mouth of the Yarra River on those wetlands that were an extensive hunting and fishing ground before settlement, which was altered in the early settlement history and is no doubt a rich source of stories, which I hope will be unearthed. Looking forward to that project being part of the place guide for this Spotswood and South Kingsville area. Next item is 9.4.2, which is Hobsons Bay Coastal and Marine Management Plan, speaking of rivers and coasts. Any questions concerning this item? Go ahead, Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Ben Marston, and through you, and I'm mindful this is a question without notice, and so by extension, happy for it to be taken on notice. Something that does come up frequently, and it's raised with me frequently by residents, is concerns around public safety along shared trails, which is, I know, something that's identified in this document. And that's a broad set of things, but specifically as it relates to cyclists on shared trails, and it's great our shared trails are being used by cyclists and pedestrians, but I oftentimes hear of cyclists sort of whooshing past at pretty rapid knots. And I guess I genuinely feel for residents who are out for, you know, their walk and are really, I guess their safety is being put at risk. And so just a question on enforcement. Who is responsible for enforcing speeds? I know Vic Roads have got a number of rules, but who's responsible for enforcing speeds and associated cycling behaviour along those shared trails?
A good question. I'll look for a hand from the directors. Go ahead, Director Andrew McLeod. Can't hear it at the moment.
Sorry, first day back from leave and had to be on mute. through you, Mr. Mayor, this is one of the clear gaps in our moving vehicle legislation around Victoria. In terms of the only moving violation type legislation permits the police to monitor speeds, but it's very obscure, as I understand it, in respect to shared paths. So there is very limited capacity to regulate speed specifically, other than through preventative mechanisms such as bollards, curves, speed humps, and those sorts of measures. There isn't, council specifically has no regulatory authority to intervene on speed related matters on shared paths.
Thanks for that answer, and thank you for your question, Councillor Tyler. Any other questions on the Coastal Marine Management Plan? I'm looking for a mover. Anyone who lives and loves the coast, go. Councillor Tyler as the mover. Councillor Suttler, go the seconder. Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. I do love the coast, and I love living in a coastal city. I was down by the 100 Steps over the weekend, one of my favourite spots, admiring our wonderful wetlands, World Heritage listed wetlands, and I couldn't help but notice some little fairy wrens bopping around, which I know are the bird of the year. Wasn't my pick, I'll be transparent, but they're very, very cute, and I know others were really backing the fairy wrens, so congratulations. it's a beautiful part of the world to live, and I guess I'm very grateful for prior generations who have created parts of our municipality like the 100 Steps. That's required a tremendous amount of effort, oftentimes driven by members of the community, and really pleased to see council be explicit as to what's going to be required to manage some of the challenges with regards to our coasts. Some of the challenges identified are, I guess, really pragmatic challenges: litter, pollution, enforcement of dogs on beaches, tree vandalism, and some of them, I guess, are really in some respects existential challenges: environmental protection and, of course, climate change. We do this, and it's inherent perhaps in the response from Mr. McLeod, we do this in collaboration with other levels of government, also other organisations, including the Bunurong Land Council, and pleased to see significant acknowledgement of the knowledge and importance of genuine engagement with the traditional owners of the land, and we've just got so much to learn from them in terms of how we manage not just our coasts but our lands more generally. Encourage people to take a squeeze. There's principles in the document which are pretty concrete and flow all the way throughout the document. I won't touch on them now in the interest of time. I did want to touch on just two survey questions which were completed as part of doing this work, and noting that there's a particular type of person who's likely to respond to the Coastal and Marine Management Plan, and so no doubt not representative, but encouraging nonetheless. Do you think there should be more trees and vegetation planted along our foreshore? 91% in favour. And then do you want to be involved in helping to deliver some of the actions in the plan? 72% in favour. And so a real enthusiasm, which I'm not surprised about, within our community to get involved. And, you know, I know I've joined Councillor Grimmer and others at, tree planting events, and there is just so much enthusiasm and so much goodwill, I guess, with people giving their time to maintain not just our coastlands but our open space more generally. And so, yeah, really pleased to support this plan like the council plan, look forward to seeing this being implemented.
Thank you, Councillor Tuller. We'll go now to a fairy wren supporter, Councillor Suttler.
Thank you, everybody. You know, I love all birds equally. This fairy wren is just, you know, a little tiny bit more. This is a very good plan because, you know, it's been going. I think we've been working on this now since 2018. I think it commenced at the end of 2018. And so that's quite a long time. And there's been broad consultation, as Councillor Tyler said, with the community, but also with a wide range of stakeholders. And the more stakeholders you have, the harder it is to kind of get where you want to be. So, you know, we work with the Department of Environment, Land and Water, DELP, Parks Victoria, Melbourne Water, the Port of Melbourne, and again, as Councillor Tyler said, with the Bunurong Land Council,
So, you know, it's good that we've gone out there and talked to the various stakeholders. And even, I would say, even in that time since we began this consultation, things have changed. I mean, the focus on climate change, rising sea levels, erosion, all of these are becoming more and more, as individuals, not just as groups, we're becoming more and more aware of the impact. And if anyone has seen the recent film narrated by David Attenborough, Breaking Boundaries, it's very, very alarming. So it's good that we have strong strategies in place, and I will encourage us wherever possible to go as far as we can to protect our coastal areas and our waterways, because things are only going to get harder, in truth. We love them. We all love them as a community, and we want to enjoy them as much as we can. And I believe this is one of the areas where the community can really show its love. You know, we can avoid leaving litter. We can avoid dropping stuff, bait bags, stuff out of boats, dog poo, all of those things we can avoid leaving along our coastal trails. We can also ride our bikes a little bit slower. So I think, you know, all these things we can contribute to make this these spaces not just as sustainable as possible, but as safe and as enjoyable as possible for as many people in the community as possible. And not everyone is that mobile. So, you know, if you having quiet spaces where you can sit and enjoy the coastline is equally as important as being able to ride your bike or your skateboard or whatever else it is. So I think, you know, we it's a big area. You know, it runs from Stony Creek Backwash near the Westgate Bridge to in Spotswood to Skeleton Creek in Altona Meadows. So, you know, it's a big stretch, and we are custodians of this for the time that we're around, and as much as we can do to support the community groups that work all through these areas, whether it's Jawbone or Skeleton Creek or, you know, any of the many groups who do fantastic work, whether it's weeding or planting or whatever else we're doing. I, as Councillor Tyre said, I commend the plan to you, and encourage everyone to get as involved as possible in making it as effective as we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutliger. Anyone against the plan? Any other speakers to the item? Go ahead, Councillor Grimmer.
No, I definitely want to thank Mr. Mani Basagasivam. I think the directors have done a great team, have been a great job, sorry. It's well appreciated for this presentation to be in plan and consulted with the community, which is something I definitely will be endorsing. Something that's close to my heart was Friends of Skeleton Creek. Me and Councillor Tyler have done tree planting, weeding, and that's something I think for the future for all generations, and including, I'll reflect back on my son, this is something I'd love him to get involved in. I can see him. He's very passionate about cleaning up the streets, which he's been doing in recent times, and I look forward to endorsing you. So a job well done, and thank you to my colleagues Councillor Tyler and Councillor Sutton to go for their comments. Definitely agree with them. Thank you
Councillor Grimmer. Any other speakers? Go ahead, Councillor Hempel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I won't labour on what Councillor Tyler, Councillor Sutton ago and Councillor Grimmer said. I agree wholeheartedly. Just want to make the point that you can see in the report, you know, the amount of money that needs to be committed in the next 2 years is quite a substantial amount, and we'd be looking to other levels of government to chip in. But I would imagine also that some of the issues are the same with a number of the other coastal councils, and I'm sure that you know that I hope that maybe the ABM, Association of Bayside Municipalities, and I think, Mr. Mayor, you're the delegate there, you know, there may be some joint lobbying that needs to be done to make sure that we do get those funds to make it happen. And I'm sure maybe the government, state government, might be thinking about that in the next 12 months too. That might be a bit more amenable.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Any other speakers? In which case, I might go back to the mover who was a Team Kookaburra supporter, but would you consider switching teams to Team Pelican next year, Councillor Tyler?
Look, I'm always open to a discussion with you, Mayor Marston. I would not rule it out. And I'm also happy if Mayor Marston, you'd like to respond to Councillor Hempel's implicit question around the ABM. I'm happy to throw that to you, but otherwise, go to the vote.
Thank you. I'll do that and then I'll make some remarks. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. Yes, so this month we're meeting as an organisation. I'm chair of the ABM and we're convening a policy workshop with the explicit aim of influencing the May budget and the state election. As you know, there's been a lot of damage from storms and decay, I suppose. You know, a lot of our assets are very old and falling apart and no longer fit for purpose and, in fact, condemned, as you'll see if you go to the Altona Pier or to anywhere in Williamstown where there's a handful of piers there that are no longer usable. So there's an enormous amount of money that needs to be dedicated, obviously very carefully according to need. And the policy landscape's very fast changing as well. It was only last year or the year before that the Act was changed when it comes to the management of the marine and coastal space. This is one of the first coastal and marine management plans that have been endorsed by council, given the fast moving nature of the policy and the way we design our coasts, not only for recreation and for amenity, but also for protection against storm surge and sea level rise is changing as well. So this is a really key document, I think. When it comes to fast moving cyclists, I think it's a cultural problem that just has to be overcome through repeated education and, yeah, to emphasise the nature of shared trails, that is that they're shared and cyclists should slow down, go around, treat slower moving cyclists and pedestrians and wheelchair users with respect, you know, in the same way that tankers and large vessels in the bay treat smaller craft and surfers and snorkelers, you know. Basically, we have an obligation as cyclists who move very quickly to slow down and avoid anyone on the trail and certainly not to frighten them, because that's not fair. I think there's still a place for a third type of lane, which is neither road nor shared trails, where fast moving, particularly electric mobility devices, can be accommodated. So it's a very difficult space, but it's fundamentally a cultural imperative to share, I think. And I'll be certainly campaigning for Team Pelican next year. I had to switch to Tawny Frogmouth and we just missed out. We've beaten pipped at the post by Fairy Wren. So congratulations to the Fairy Wren supporters. Moving on now to the next item. I'm just going to get my iPad to work, which is 9.4.3 Draft Road Management Plan 2021. Are there any questions concerning this item? There appear to be none, in which case Councillor Hemphill will move and we'll need a seconder to engage in debate. This is an endorsement to place the draft plan on public exhibition. Councillor Sutton-Legault was first, so I'm going to take her to be the seconder. Councillor Hemphill, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a document that we're required to do under the Road Management Act. It's fairly standard procedural sort of document that goes out. We're going out for public comment for 4 weeks, and just encourage anyone who's interested in this area to give us their feedback.
Thank you. Councillor Sutton-Legault.
Yes, I'll be brief. You know, we don't manage all roads, but we do manage 433 kilometres of road. And I think it's a little bit like, you know, painting the Sydney Harbour Bridge. You know, you start at one end and you get finished and you have to go back and start again. So it's something that continues and is important. And I think it goes along with our footpath strategy and making sure that, you know, you can walk as well as on as good a pavement, as good a surface as you can drive. I'm happy to support the draft management plan, which will go on public exhibition for 4 weeks until 10th of November. And again, I encourage the community to have a look and get involved and give some feedback. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers?
Go to the vote.
Certainly. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. Next is 9.4.4, Trust for Nature Covenant, Maidstone Street, Grassland, Altona. Any questions? Go ahead, Councillor Tuller.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. Through you, two questions. Just wanted to confirm that the costs associated with managing 210 Maidstone Street were entirely offset by the developer.
Thank you for the question. Who would like to field this? Mr. Manivaskasvam, go ahead.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Tyler, yes, I can confirm that the full cost is paid by the developer. So we worked with the developer and with an independent consultant. We worked out the 10-year cost of managing that site. And then from that, we negotiated the full price to be paid by the developer.
Thanks so much. And then just a second question through you, Mayor. Just for folks who might not be familiar with these arrangements, I noticed for 240 Maidstone Street, the offsets were due to development on a council-owned property. And just the thinking which underpins the approach and the benefits, I guess, of keeping those offsets in our municipality rather than investing in offsets elsewhere.
Go ahead.
Hey, Mayor, Councillor Tyler. Within our municipality, we got a number of grasslands, protected grasslands, but due to the developments, we are losing grasslands and also the developers can pay the offsets in a different areas and then they can do the developments. But when we looked at our development, what we looked at is we wanted to keep the grasslands within our municipality. That's a nature reserve and we wanted to protect that. So part of that, we kept that in-house and also that's what we developed and then we are managing it in-house. That's the reason for that.
Thank you for your question and thanks for that answer. Any other questions? I just wanted to flag that the time now is 8:47. We'll probably finish this debate in time for 9 o'clock and according to the meeting procedure under 6.6.7, we can call a 10-minute break at that point. So I anticipate that we'll be able to break at 9 o'clock for 10 minutes and then come together after that. But we're now looking at the current item 9.4.4 and I'm looking for a mover. Councillor Tyler, the mover. And Councillor Sutton Legault, the seconder. Go ahead, Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. I guess the first point to make is that there are really precious grasslands, not just in Hobsons Bay, but across the western suburbs of Melbourne that, as has been touched on, almost through a death by a thousand cuts have been really lost due to development. And I guess as soon as you're in the world of offsets, as I understand it, and I'm no expert on this, but as I understand it, You're in the land of the imperfect, of course. And so I guess that's an important point to make. I also think that it's, I guess, the reality of the planning system we're in at this stage, that these types of arrangements are necessary. And there's then the question about the mechanism that we use to make them happen. And this, the two properties that are the focus here, as has been touched on, one is being funded by a developer. The second is due to a council development. And importantly, I think there's been a decision made to invest in our own grasslands in our neck of the woods rather than invest that elsewhere. And so in my mind, that's a really, it's a really positive undertaking. Albeit, as I say, given the nature of offsets, we're in the land of the imperfect. And so, yeah, happy to support the mechanism that's being put forward.
Thank you. Councillor Tyler. Next is Councillor Sutton-Lagoe as the seconder. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I think it is important that we protect as many of these types of sites as we can. And one of the benefits of a Trust for Nature covenant is that they firstly assess whether the site is worth protecting for the conservation values. So we know that, you know, if you're going to have a covenant put on it, then the land has conservation value in and of itself. And I think the requirement for offset management plans and conservation plans is really important, because there's not much point in putting covenants on land and then letting it become degraded. So the covenant itself is useful because it's attached to the title of the land, and it stays there forever. But it's also important that we look after not just this land but adjoining land, because even some moths don't stay in one place. So they have to, we need to create as many of these spaces as we can, and we need to connect them up as much as we can. Remnant lands, little remnant areas are fantastic, but we need to think landscape scale. So as many of these areas that we can protect, the better. And this is a good start. Yeah, when we're starting to offset to areas that have got nothing to do with conservation or far away from the property where we started, we're just losing more and more. So I'm happy to support the Trust for Nature covenant. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers or speakers against? Councillor Hemphill to speak for the motion.
Thank you. I guess with all these offset sites, particularly the ones that are contributing what we're taking over because the developer doesn't want to take ownership of the management of them. The really important thing has been to make sure that we get enough money to cover the costs for those 10 years. And I've been in the past been a little bit critical that maybe we have not got enough money, but there was a recent case where that hasn't been decided yet in relation to Ajax Road, where I'm very confident of the way that the council staff have tried to extract as much money as they can out of developers, because if we don't do it, they have to do it, and they don't want to do it. So it's all about money sometimes, and making sure that our ratepayers don't necessarily have to foot the bill to make, a shortfall once we find out what it costs to manage these sites. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Any other speakers? Would you like to sum up, Councillor Tyler?
Happy to go to the vote, Mayor Martin.
Certainly. I'll put the motion to vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. And as I flagged, although we finished sooner than I imagined, I'll still call for us to reassemble at 9:10. So 9:10 will be the time that we come back together. and we'll then go into delegate reports, notices of motion, urgent other business, and then our in-camera business as well. So take the next just over 15 minutes to take a break, and we'll see you then. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. It's now 10 past nine, and we move on with the meeting. We're now at agenda item 10, as you can see on screen. And this item is concerned with delegate reports. Are there any questions concerning the reports? Seems there are none, in which case I'll ask for a mover.
Happy to
move. I'll be happy to second. That's fine.
Thank you. Councillor Hempel, a mover. Councillor Grimmer, seconder. Go ahead, Councillor Hempel.
I'm not one of the delegates listed there, so I'm happy to defer to any of the delegates who wish to speak to their particular report.
Thank you. Councillor Grimmer?
Yeah, as a delegate, I will speak to the report. As part of the mobile billboard road and safety program during August, the focus was on young drivers, and during September, the focus was on new behaviour, antisocial behaviour. And the funding has been approved for 2021 and 2022 local media road safety campaign, with the campaign to focus around road policing operations conducted during long weekends and holidays program, which I wholeheartedly support. And of course, if there's any feedback, I encourage the public to, the residents to give us feedback. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. So I will make some remarks after the vote, but unless there are other speakers, I'll now put that motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. And there's a short report from the time of the last MTF meeting on the 1st of September, which was a briefing from Infrastructure Victoria. And you can see the details in there. I won't labour the report. It's as printed, and I encourage you to read it. We move now to item 11, which is notices in motion. And we received none. So we'll move to 12, which is urgent and other business. Councillors, any other urgent business to be raised? Councillor Hempel.
Sorry, just checking if I'm on mute. Yes, I have a condolence motion to raise with the council.
Certainly. So to consider that condolence motion, we'll have to add it to the agenda. So it's a two-step process here involving two motions. The first one is a motion to consider the item of the urgent business relating to that condolence motion as moved by Councillor Hempel. It'll need a seconder. Councillor Briffa, the seconder. All those in favour of considering the condolence motion? The motion carried unanimously. We move now to the substantive motion as printed on the screen. And these are words that you've communicated prior to the meeting, I gather, Councillor Hempel, to the Minutes Secretary.
Yes, I have. Last Friday, I communicated these words to staff and the council. And it's urgent business because the passing of the citizen, which I'll get to, was only recently, last week. So.
Thank you. So the motion is on screen now, and it reads that council acknowledges the recent passing of its 2016 Citizen of the Year, Nancy Winder, and sends a letter of condolence written under the signature of the mayor to her family.
And I'm happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Hempel, the mover, and a seconder. Councillor Briffa. Thank you. Councillor Hempel, over to you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. It's with great sadness that acknowledge that Hobsons Bay has lost one of its finest and selfless citizens. Nancy Winder passed away on October 5th, aged 87. She lived in Altona for 68 years, much of that with her husband, Ron, who predeceased her. Nancy was such a stalwart in the local community that I had the great pleasure, while I was mayor in 2016, to bestow upon her the honour of being Hobsons Bay Citizen of the year that year on Australia Day. And she was the most deserving choice. Apart from her achievements, he had such a nice nature that he couldn't help but instantly like her. Also, that year was 16-year-old William McKenzie, who was made Young Citizen of the Year. And I only raise that because I asked them both to come into the mayoral office a few days earlier to get to know them before the Australia Day ceremony, but also to brief them on the procedure for the day. And, you know, I was soon sidelined. Nancy and William were chatting away to themselves, and you know, I thought Nancy was trying to pick William up and was going to offer him a date. But I only discovered today that that in 2013, she was Hobsons Bay Inspirational Woman for Young People. So I, you know, she generally had an interest in young people, whether they're male or female, and you know, she was so interested in what they were doing, and that was evident on that particular day. Nancy and Ron were some of the very early residents of Altona. Ron was an Altona City Council building surveyor for 30 years. Ron and Nancy bought a block of land in Upton Street in Altona in 1952. And at that point, there was very little in Altona at the time. There were no made roads, and nor was there a timber yard. So every weekend, a train would deliver timber to the area, and local residents like Nancy and Ron, they would go to the railway station with whatever transport they had, whether it's a horse, a cart, or a truck, or a borrowed ute, or whatever, to pick up their timber to cut to their blocks. And they all, you know, shared that work and in delivering all their timber to their respective blocks to build their homes on. Maybe it was Ron's profession, but Ron made sure that his block was on a hill in Upton Street. And I didn't think there were any hills in Altona. Councillor Bruford might tell me otherwise, but there was a hill. And Ron knew that back then that the area was prone to flooding, and he made sure that he got the house that was on the top of the hill. And he was right, because son Philip told me today that he can recall one of those early floods where Ron hauled the boat out and they rowed down Upton Street. And while a lot of probably other people were, you know, swimming around in water, the Winder family remained high and dry, I think. Nancy worked as a Sunday school teacher at St. Ainsworth Anglican Church in Altona and was involved in the church's shop and mother's union. She was a Girl Guide leader at Altona for many years, member of Altona Provis since 1993. She worked as a volunteer in the Salvation Army thrift shop from 2002. She joined the Altona Lions Club and was an active member until she could do no more, which was only last Christmas. She was there for 13 years and was the Lions Club's welfare officer. She worked in the local soup kitchen and delivered meals to disadvantaged people for a number of years, and they were operations that were run by, alternatively, by the Lions Club and the Salvation Army. She also collected hundreds and hundreds of pairs of disused spectacles to send to people in third world countries. And you know, she was always working to help other people. She knitted baby bonnets for newly born, prematurely born babies and delivered them to hospitals. Ever dedicated to the welfare of others less fortunate than herself, Nancy was recognised for that community service, and not only from being Hobsons Bay Citizen of the Year in 2016, she also was honoured 2 years later with the Victorian Premier's Volunteer Champions Award. Probably most of all, Nancy was a mother and a grandmother. And I send my personal condolences to Philip, Diane, Ross and Barbara and their families. And I'm sure that the council will also send their condolences once this motion is passed, which I'm sure it will be. Nancy was an inspiration to many people and loved by them for her amazing work. Her funeral will be held this Friday at 10:30 a.m. at Nelson Brothers in Williamstown, but unfortunately only 10 people can attend due to the COVID restrictions. But those that knew her and respected her and may be listening in tonight might want to know that Nancy will do a last lap of honour of Altona, I think from around about 11:30 on Friday. And those people might be happen to be having a picnic or a walk down that street and or be out in their front garden when she passes. But her final lap of honour will start at the boat ramp in Altona. It'll go along, and that's where her and Ron, I believe, had a boat which they sailed in and launched from that place. And then it'll travel along the Esplanade to Sarah Street, then up to Upton Street where they lived, and then back down to the Esplanade and to the crematorium. And if you're listening in and you didn't get all that, I believe the Altona CEO Facebook page also has the route listed. And I see Councillor Briffin nodding that is the case. I guess Nancy Winder, I would say that I personally found her as a very exceptional person, and she will be sadly missed.
Very well said, Councillor Hempel. Thank you for those warm words. I now turn to Councillor Briffin to relate some stories of her experience with Ms. Winder. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Marsden. I think Councillor Hempel has said a lot of the things that I was going to say about her service to the community, but so I'll just keep it brief. Suffice to say that I can count Nancy as one of my friends. She was an absolute delight to be with. We certainly spent time together with the Lions, with the Altona Lions, and you know, with the food van. And she was always an absolute delight to be with. She was warm, kind-hearted, genuine, friendly with everyone that she met. So even on the Altona Sea Home page, the beautiful memories that we're getting on that Facebook page about her were just so beautiful to read. People that knew her over many years. She had time for everyone. She walked the walk. So she did so much work with different groups, whether that was the Altona Lions, Altona Sea Home Progress, Girl Guides, the St. Ainsworths, and she was a contributor. She actually went out there and did heaps of work. But it was the interactions with people that I remember most, because as Councillor Hempel said, she just had a warmth about her that you just immediately were attracted to. And I don't know, I just want to express my sincerest condolences to her family, the many, many friends around Altona that will miss her, that are sharing beautiful stories of her. I look forward to those continuing on social media, and to paying last respects to her on Friday. Thank you, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Briffin. Would anyone else like to say anything before we vote on this item? In which case, all those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried unanimously. An extraordinary woman, related very warmly by Councillor Briffin and Councillor Hempel. I've only met her a couple of times, but I agree she was a very warm person, and an extraordinary contribution that she made to the city of Hobsons Bay and to her neighbourhood church, Girl Guides, Lions Club, Probus. And
great sense of humour too. I didn't say that, but she had a great sense of humour. she was fun in the Lions bus that, you know, I'd drive around, and she was great.
Yeah, and that's so important. So I'd like to, on behalf of the council, convey our condolences to the family of Nancy and Ron Winder. And I'd like to thank my colleagues again for their warm and heartfelt comments as well.
And if I may, Mr. Mayor, lastly, of course. Thank Councillor Briffer for his comments as well. But this conversation is being heard locally, but also from a family I know in Sydney as well. So
okay,
we've welcomed them into the Altona See Home page so they can see all the comments.
Oh, wonderful! Yeah. Oh, that's thank good. Yeah. Oh well, a shout out to Nancy and Ron Winder's family in Sydney. And I've just looked at the Nelson Brothers webpage as well, and it appears that they will webcast the service on Friday as well, as the right. as the procession, which can be seen on those streets that Councillor Hempel referred to. So thank you again, and again, our warm condolences from the City of Hobsons Bay. That concludes the public part of the meeting. We'll be moving in camera to consider a confidential report closed to the public in accordance with Section 66(2)(a) and Section 31(a) and Section 31(g) of the Local Government Act 2020 as it relates to private commercial information and information that was confidential and for the purposes of Section 77 of the Local Government Act 1989. So spanning two acts, and is titled 13.1 Review of Confidential Status of the In-Camera Council Reports. So given that the council reports are confidential, we need to move in camera to review them. So thank you all to who have joined
us. I'm happy to move that we move in camera, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly. I'll need a seconder to do so. Councillor Callender, the seconder, to move in camera. And all those in favour? The motion, and all those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. So that concludes our public broadcast. Thank you to everyone, in particular to Nancy Winder's family in Sydney. And we'll see you next month. Thank you. Councillors will now move into a separate meeting, which we'll convene at just before 9:30. And we'll seek an extension of time in order to carry through to 10 o'clock, which should give us adequate time to debate the next item, 13.1. See you in the next meeting. Thank you all. Good night.